In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
On this holy night, we light all four candles and our Advent wreath, and we are reminded of the expectation, preparation, proclamation, and revelation of Jesus' coming. Now we light the candle, the Christ candle. We rejoice that the promise of God has been fulfilled in the coming of the baby born in a manger.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Merry Christmas, everybody. My name is Brian, and I just want to welcome you to our Christmas Eve services here at Branches HB. And we're thankful that you would choose to spend part of your holiday with us together celebrating one of the most amazing things that's happened, and that is just the fact that God sent His Son. He sent His Son, Jesus, to shine light on this world. And so I want to encourage you to join us in singing. Some of these songs are familiar, and so if you know them, feel free to have some fun and sing with us. Can you do that with me? All right.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come. Yeah. come let us adore him. Oh come let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Suddenly, a great company of the holy host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
While we continue to sing, our volunteers are going to come forward and pass our baskets around for offering. And if you're visiting with us, this is not an obligation to give anything, but this is just as we as a church continue to worship. For us, this is just another gathering and another way that we put our faith in God and put our faith that he can do much with the little that we can bring to him. So before we do that, would you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for the wonderful gift that is Jesus. We thank you for Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, we thank you that you would be mindful of us, that you would extend compassion and grace and love to us in a way that goes beyond what we could even imagine. Lord, we thank you for your presence that's among us right now. And God, we thank you for the beauty that is in even the gathering of your people, the expression of worship that can be shown only when people gather together. A symbol of unity and of family, a symbol of even your love, God. So God, we ask that you'd continue to be with us and show us more of you tonight. We pray this in your name. Spirit.
For the gift of Jesus that we remember at Christmas time. Lord, thank you that you came to be with us, that you came to bring light and life into the spiritual darkness of this world and the darkness of our own lives. Lord, help us grasp this evening the magnitude, the blessing that comes in knowing the birth of Jesus has come and has changed this world and changed our lives. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, everybody. That was awesome, right? Great way to start your Christmas festivities. You can go ahead and say hi to somebody around you. Wish them a Merry Christmas. And of course, I want to say Merry Christmas to you. My name is Andrew Shea. I'm the lead pastor here at Branches. Merry Christmas if you're a part of our family here at Branches. Merry Christmas if you're a visitor who's come here with family or you've received an invitation from a friend or just somebody in the city. Christmas came a little early for me. I had a little visitor yesterday drop by my house at about 5 p.m. First name Noro, last name Virus. So, yeah, no holiday hugs with me. Let's just say that right now. I'd love to defend you guys from that. But I'm still in the holiday spirit. I mean, nothing like some worship music to get me ready to preach this message. And I do have a message prepared in this Let There Be Light series that we've been going through through Advent. It's also the theme of our Christmas Eve services tonight and the direction I'll take in our teaching. I don't know if you guys are aware, but we've been preparing you not just through the weekends, not just through our weekend services with this theme of Let There Be Light. I don't know if you guys saw those lights over Southern California a few days ago. Yeah, that was us. That was us, all right? Some of you thought it was World War III. Some of you thought it was Jesus' return. Some of you thought it was SpaceX. It wasn't. It was us. Just preparing you guys along the lines of this theme, but with this theme of Let There Be Light, we're going in a little bit of a different direction this year than is typical. I think typically in the Christmas season, it's you know, the usual rhythm to go to Luke chapter 2 and to read the story of Jesus' birth out of Luke chapter 2. And that was the reading that took place in the midst of worship. But the birth of Jesus is not the beginning of his story, actually. And the Christmas story is told in a different way in John's Gospel. John chapter 1 puts Jesus at Genesis chapter 1, before the creation of the heavens and the earth. So let's read that passage together again and widen our perspective. It was the passage that we opened with this evening, but let me read it again as we put ourselves back into the scripture and the truth of the scripture. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, John writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. As I said, John recalls in his gospel the creation story of Genesis chapter 1, where God by his spoken word created the heavens and the earth. It says in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1 that the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep until in verse 3, God says, "Let there be light," and light dawns over that creation, marking the first of many good works that culminated in the creation of humankind. Now that creation, though good in its original intent, was quickly marred. That's what we see in the Old Testament through violence, family division, impurity, all resulting from mankind's disobedience and rejection of God. Now in John chapter 1, Jesus' birth is the "let there be light" statement of the New Testament. As God spoke light into the formless void of Genesis, so John claims Jesus is the spoken word of life and light into the spiritual darkness and void of mankind. But what does that really mean? That Jesus' arrival, his birth, was life and light dawning in the dark and formless void of mankind? Well, the answers to this question are found all throughout the New Testament. We've actually been unwrapping some of the answers to that question over the last couple of weeks as a church family. But tonight we'll draw our answers mostly from the Gospel of John. It's in one scene where Jesus is describing his purpose in coming, where he tells the crowd, "I am the bread of life." This is in John chapter 6, verse 35. "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Verse 51 of the same chapter, "Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Now we're talking, right? We're talking food. And the holidays are all about food. You know, this gets me pumped. Especially talking about bread, because bread is one of my favorite foods. Bread is very versatile, okay? Bread is a fantastic appetizer. It's a great side dish. It could even be considered a main course, I think. It's a great dessert, delicious dessert, and a midnight snack. Very versatile food. Okay, I love bread. But Jesus is using this basic ingredient, this essential ingredient for life, bread, food, to describe his purpose in coming into the world. And he's hitting on something universal. Everybody gets hungry. Everybody gets thirsty. And we get hungry and we get thirsty because our body needs these essential ingredients in order to live. We need sustenance in order to live. Truly, food keeps the lights on in our body. It keeps our energy in our brain and our heart pumping through the chemical process of the acids breaking down the honey-baked ham all of you are going to eat later this evening. Now, we never eat so much that we don't have to eat again. You know, you might eat a large meal and not have to eat a meal, like one meal or two meals. You know, you might just need one in a day. I go to this sub sandwich place, Subculture, in Huntington Beach. Any of you guys ever eaten at Subculture off Warner and Beach? Most phenomenal sub sandwiches ever created. I'm not even a sandwich guy. I love bread, but I do not love sandwiches. But this place has revolutionized the sub sandwich, Subculture. And when I'm eating one of these sandwiches, I'm not eating just to be full, okay? I eat half of the sandwich, I'm full, but I choose to continue to eat because of the taste. And it gets to the point where, man, I could eat one of those and I could be good for the whole day, right? I could skip a meal or two, like one is good for everything for that day. But we always get hungry again in the future. The next day always brings more hunger. Now, Jesus is speaking symbolically. The meaning here of this teaching is about more than just a heap of carbs. Because more than food, we humans need the substance, the purpose that forms meaning for our days and for our living. We require spiritual food. So we seek more money. So we seek more success, more experiences, more people, more feelings. We need a new reason to get out of bed every single day. And the promotion at work, that helps us coast for a while. Maybe it fills us up so that we don't get hungry for a while, but we always get hungry again. You know, whether it's the next trip that we take, whether it's the next purchase that we make, it's something different for everyone, but it's never enough. No matter where we are, we're still hungry. We're still thirsty. The poet writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 8, "All things are wearisome. The eye never has enough seeing, the ear never enough hearing." You know, when it comes to Christmas gifts, you say you give a Christmas gift to a kid. Have you ever had a kid turn to their parents and say, "Mama, Papa, thank you for this amazing gift. I no longer need any more gifts." Have you ever heard a kid say that after opening a gift? "Oh my gosh, this gift is so incredible. I am so satisfied. Please return everything else. Keep the money for yourself." A child will never say that to you. Never. You know, my wife, she's a sweetheart. Every year without fail, she will tell me, "I have everything I need. Please don't get me anything this year. I don't need anything." Now, all of us husbands out there that have ever heard this before, we know that is a bold-faced lie. There has never been a stronger lie in the history of mankind. I've said the same thing too before. "I don't mean it. I've never meant it." We all want more things, right? Now, could you ever imagine that hunger within being satisfied, being truly satisfied? I'm not saying you get to a place of boredom. I'm not saying you get to sort of this aimless place of living. But could you imagine that hunger suddenly becoming perpetually full? That your experience of life would be unending satisfaction? Well, that was Jesus' purpose in being born and coming into the world. He came into the world so that you don't have to spend your whole life just searching for another meal. Jesus was born into the world to provide for us the bread of life, a spiritual sustenance that nourishes the soul as he returns us to the life-giving purpose for which we were made, the love of God and the love of one another. Sit at your dinner tonight and eat, and know that you're going to get hungry again. Chase after whatever it is you're chasing after at this point in your life and get it, knowing that you're going to be hungry again. But what is more, know this: Jesus came to be your satisfaction. It's clear that by bringing life as the light of men, Jesus' birth meant not only an ongoing spiritual sustenance, but as the bread of life, he says he is a meal bringing literal eternal life to everyone who believes in him. This is a power over death Jesus demonstrates as possessing in John chapter 11 when he raises his friend Lazarus from the grave by the power of his word. It's there in John chapter 11, verse 43, that Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out of the grave." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Lazarus was dead. He was gone. Okay, that's what it says right there in the passage. The dead man came out. Actually, in verse 39, right before the passage that I read, Jesus tells everybody gathered, he says, "Hey, roll away the stone from in front of the grave." And Mary warns Jesus and says, "Hey, Jesus, he's been in there 4 days. We may not want to do that right now." I mean, he was dead. He was gone. So if food is what keeps the lights on in our bodies, death is when the lights actually go out. And that's literally what happens to us at death, because light is a form of energy. I'm not talking about positive energy or good vibes. I know this is Huntington Beach. We love that kind of stuff. I'm talking like scientifically, light is energy. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of that. And you have light. You have energy within you. Like literally, you are producing 100 watts right now. Did you know that? Your body produces 100 watts in its resting state. You have the power in your body to power like a pretty strong light bulb. Pretty awesome, right? In death, the process of transferring energy in your body breaks down and dissipates, leaving what? Only a formless void. Darkness. And Jesus, through whom everything came into being, came to bring the power of life and light. At his word, light, literally, energy and life returned into the body of Lazarus. The Apostle Paul agrees this was the purpose of Jesus' coming into the world in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. "Jesus has saved us," he says, "and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing, the birth of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Jesus came. He was born to destroy death, to bring life and immortality to light. And some of you need that reminder more than anything this Christmas. Because for some of you, the holidays are a reminder of your greatest griefs. And now they can be a reminder in Christ that your reunion awaits you. For all who trust in Jesus will experience the same reality as Lazarus. On the other side of death, we'll each hear a voice, a word commanding, come out from the darkness, into the light, into life. And as if commanding death and darkness itself, Jesus will say, unbind them and let them go. Let there be light. The invitation to receive Jesus as light and life, as our spiritual sustenance and our hope of life eternal, is not for some future day. It's for today. It's for this evening. Jesus says in John chapter 12, I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Jesus took on flesh to give his flesh on the cross as an offering, as payment for a world of darkness, to cover over it, to make a way for each of us through faith to receive sustaining and eternal life. As John opens in chapter 1, he admits not all experienced the illumination of Jesus. Not all recognized him. Some prefer the darkness because, as Jesus says in John chapter 3, their deeds are evil. They don't want to step into the light of God. And frankly, some of you will probably leave here tonight and you'll leave here hungry. You'll leave here still hungry. You'll leave here without a hope in death, just a dissipation. But John extends the invitation to everyone. In chapter 1, verse 13, to everyone who believes in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, born of God. In Genesis chapter 1, God took the formless void and made his creation, which abandoned him for spiritual darkness. In John chapter 1, God took the spiritual darkness and said, let there be light in Jesus, and he made a family. You know, light only becomes visible when it has something to bounce off of. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of that. But that's why, you know, the sun is shining through space, but space is dark. Why? Because there's nothing for the light to bounce off of. In the same way, love is only made visible through the object of affection. And so you and I exist. We are objects of God's affection. He created us so that he could put his love on display. In Jesus, we have an invitation to receive that love and affection. Through the birth of this one child, many more are reborn in the forever family of God. It's like that age-old hymn. You guys know it. It's all captured in there. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the gift of Jesus, the gift of sustaining life, the gift of life eternal, the promise of being welcomed into your family. Through this one child coming into the world, many were made your children. And that's what we remember on this Christmas. Lord God, I pray all of us would recognize, all of us who have faith in you, Jesus, would recognize the magnitude of what has occurred in this Christmas day. And Lord, for anyone in here who hasn't received the invitation of your affection and your love, of your grace, which covers all sin and evil and darkness, that, Lord, they would welcome you into their heart this evening. Lord, would there be many in this room here tonight, family members, friends, visitors, who place their faith in you, who find a satisfaction that means they'll never hunger again, that they hold on to this hope of life eternal from this night forward, that just like the lights come on in a newborn baby in the womb and the heart begins to beat, that spontaneously, God, by the power of your word and by your light, Would hearts come alive tonight as your children? We pray even as we begin to sing and worship together that, God, many would receive the invitation that you're giving to them in their hearts. I pray this in Jesus' name.
Darkness in your eyes. There's no question in your mind, God Almighty. God of mercy. There's no hiding from your striving in your grace, God of mercy, God Almighty. Let there be light, open the eyes of the blind. Purify our hearts in your fire, breathe in us, we pray. Jesus, have your way. Thank you. side to the light, breaking the curse of the night. For all in darkness, sing louder, proclaiming freedom for all. This is the day of the Lord, beauty for ashes. Let there be light. Shines above. Come the light that shines in us. There's no darkness in your way, so have your way. Lord, have your way. Have your way. Stars are brightly shining. It is a night of our dear Savior's blood. Let's all stand. Only the world in sin and error pining till He appeared, and the soul.
praise God this evening for the blessing of Christ's birth. Amen. And it's a beautiful recognition that goes out from God's people in worship and praise this evening. I love it. But before we go, I do want to extend an opportunity for those of you who have never placed your faith in Jesus before to do it right now. So would you just pray with me? And I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and we could all just take a posture of prayer. And Lord, I pray right now that as you've been speaking to people's hearts in this room, whether it's those family members or friends or visitors, those individuals who don't know you, or maybe they've known you and they've walked with you during a portion of their life, but maybe they've walked away, God. And this tonight is an opportunity to recommit themselves and their way to you. Lord, I pray right now that they just simply offer themselves, that they'd say, Lord, in faith that you're their Lord and that you're their Savior and that they want to walk with you from this night forward. Lord God, we know for anyone who offers that simple prayer that your grace covers them. There's forgiveness for any wrong, that they're literally a new creation. They're made new. They become a child of God, born of God, and they receive the promise of sustaining life and eternal life. Lord, I pray right now that many would make that decision and join your family tonight. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you made that decision, you know, it'd be a great next step to just speak with one of us as pastors. And we'd love to talk with you about what it means to actually walk with Jesus from this night forward. It could also be great to talk with the person who invited you or a family member that you came here with. You know, surprise them at dinner. Tell them that that was a prayer that you prayed in your heart and that tonight is a defining night for you. But even more than that, we want to invite you to come back next week because we're a church family that journeys after God. Every week we gather together, we open God's Word, we try to find out what it means for us to lay hold of the life and light of Jesus. We're not perfect by any means, any stretch of the imagination, but there's a community here that is committed to serving and loving our neighbors in this city, and we would love to have you join our church family. Next week, we start our new service times at 8:30 and 10:30. Please remember that. We'll meet right here at 8:30 and 10:30. And because next Sunday is New Year's Eve, we are canceling our night service so that it's not me and like three other people. But in the weeks to come, there will be a 7 p.m. service as well. But 8:30 and 10:30 next week, right here at the Senior Center, we would love for you guys to be a part of this family, this fellowship. But right now, I want to invite the ushers. They're going to come forward with some lighters. They're going to light those candles that we handed to each of you. We're going to finish by lighting some candles by singing Silent Night. It's a family tradition here at Branches HB. And of course, I just want to, you can go ahead and start lighting them right now. I want to make sure that you guys, as parents, you know, you're careful with your kids here. You might want some supervision. You know if your child is incapable of carrying this important responsibility of fire. So we would ask that you use your discernment and judgment. And if you see an unruly child next to you, feel free to blow out their candle and say Merry Christmas at the same time. It'll offset it. But really, this is representative of the light and life of Christ given to each of us, becoming a light and life in our own life. And as we sing, this whole room is going to be lit up. You're going to see the rebirth that's happened in so many lives, the family of God that has expanded in all those who are gathered here tonight. So let's sing and praise our God for the light and life he brings.
Thank you for the way you bring light into this world and for the gift of your Son, Jesus, that he would come and be a light to us, a path for our feet, and a light for our path, that he would come and take on darkness in a way that we couldn't, and that he would display peace and humility and love and compassion in a way that we can't even. So Lord, would you continue to lead us to be that light? Would you continue to lead us with grace and truth? We thank you for that gift. We thank you for the gift of Christmas. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just take a moment. This is beautiful. Okay, now you can blow them out. Well, we want to thank you again for joining us here at Branches, and we appreciate that you'd come and spend part of your day with us, and we wish you a Merry Christmas, and we hope to see you back here next time. God bless.